I'm Brandi Cruz. Today on Undivided, you showed up to help us stand up to fear-mongering. And the work isn't over. We'll introduce you to a local school board candidate hit with a hateful flyer.
It's unfortunate because we're talking about our kids and we're supposed to be the best example by not bullying each other. And so I don't know what to say to that. I'm just not playing that game.
Plus, protesters kicked off a school campus.
Nope, you're going away.
The message they were hoping to spread about protecting women's sports. That and more coming up today on our Halloween edition of Undivided. Remember, you can support the show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. Hello and welcome to this Halloween edition of Undivided. I am Brandi Cruz, but for today, I am a confused Seattle activist. Thank you for being here. Nicole, my badass producer, a little sheeple, perfect.
I'm a little sheeple.
This is the only wig we had. It's from Nicole. And I was like, in order to make this outfit better, I think I have to shave side of it. And I have this nose ring in.
It's painful. Oh no, there's your snort.
It hurt. Mm. It's not a real one, obviously, but it is really, I'm really struggling with it. Am I going to offend people who have pink hair and a nose ring?
No.
No. If you're listening to it, that's fine. We accept you. But if you're not watching the show, man, are you missing out. Anyway, okay, we got stuff to get to. And it starts with a thank you. It starts with a thank you to those of you who are truly committed to this movement of restoring sanity, of giving common sense a comeback. We asked you with less than a day's notice to show up in the middle of a day on a Monday in Linwood to sine wave for Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney, because he was the subject over the weekend to something we hate the most, and that is unhinged fear-mongering labeling that is meant to drive a wedge in communities, that is meant to vilify anyone who dares to dissent from the prevailing worldview. And I gotta say, you guys did not let us down. We had a blast. We had, I think, around 70 people at the peak yesterday show up in Linwood to wave signs for Sheriff Adam Fortney. And it was honestly just awesome. And I was saying this, I did a live Q&A with subscribers last night. We were talking about this. It feels good to be out there. It feels good to, I mean, we love doing the podcast. We love talking online and raising attention for these issues and, you know, how common sense and civility and all these things are just going down the toilet. But I think to be out there with like-minded people who took time out of their day on a Monday to say, no, we're not going to tolerate it when someone who's doing a good job to keep his community safe is vilified, called far right, days before the election, and not by the other side, by a mainstream news outlet. It's not right. You guys said it's not right. You showed up. I appreciate every single one of you. But now that you've got a little taste of what it means to really push back against the insanity, the work is not done, because these sorts of attacks that Adam Fortney went through, and in case you weren't watching the show yesterday, there was a reporter for the Everett Herald that did this lengthy piece calling him controversial, far right, with constitutional leanings, as if that's a bad thing, and really glossing over some of the things he's been able to accomplish with bipartisan support from mayors in Snohomish County to try to improve public safety. So what we see these sorts of attacks all the time, where it is these broad generalities meant to paint someone as an extremist when they're really not. And after we, you know, had said something about what was happening to Adam Fortney, I've just been inundated with flyers and attacks on other candidates. And I wanted to bring it to your attention, because this is happening at all levels now. This is a tactic that the parties have deemed acceptable, I would say, in this state. And I've seen it from both sides, where you want to paint the fringe leftist as like a socialist or something like that, and then the right gets painted as right-wing, Trumper, MAGA, whatever. But we're seeing it at all levels. It used to be that these sort of attacks would really just happen in some of the high-level races, but that's simply not the case. And I think ground zero for nastiness has been some of these school board races. And I want to bring your attention to one in particular. It is the race for Highline School Board Director, District 4. Melissa Petrini is running against Carlos Ruiz. Carlos Ruiz sent out the following flyer about Melissa Petrini. It said on it, and again, I want you to keep in mind, what is the goal here? And I want you to keep in mind how vague this is. It says, conservative leaders and groups are launching bold and aggressive action to take our schools backward. With attacks on students of color and LGBTQ plus youth, they seek to stifle learning about race and identity. They encourage unproven theories that will take us back to the 1950s. Carlos Ruiz goes on in this attack mailer against Melissa Petrini to say, vote Carlos to protect our students from extremist ideology. Don't fall for the squeaky clean image of my opponent. And then he references some video interview she did that we, you know, watched. It doesn't seem terribly controversial. He said, read between the lines in a video she recorded for Political Lens. Like, he's not going to tell you what is so bad about it. He's just going to read between the lines. And then he says, a mom of six children who don't attend Highline schools, no thank you. Highline deserves better. He goes on to say, our kids deserve safe, engaging, and equitable schools. Just painting him as the perfect person for the job. Carlos will prioritize a welcoming school environment for all students and their families. Carlos stands for focusing on the whole child, academics, arts, and the social well-being of every student. Hands-on, fact-based curriculum, effective use of school funding and budgetary transparency, amplifying the voices of students, parents, and educators, collaborative open discussions, healthy learning environments. So he paints himself to be this really reasonable guy. Yeah, I care about all this, except he's doing something there that proves he's unreasonable. He is doing something with the flyer and saying extremist ideology, launching these vague attacks with these vague labels that he's offering no proof for. He is proving that he's the unreasonable one, not Melissa Petrini. And I got a chance before the show today to chat with Melissa Petrini, and I will tell you, based on our conversation, she is anything but unreasonable. Melissa Petrini, welcome to Undivided.
Thank you for having me, Brandy.
So first, let's talk about who you are as a parent, because I think that's relevant to what you're running for.
Yeah. So I'm a mom of six kids. I have two with special needs, one on the autism spectrum that has now graduated. And we had a very long road with him, and our youngest with Down syndrome. So we've got kind of those bookends of children with special needs. One child in the middle who had a 504 plan and was one of the reasons that I pulled my children out of the school district a couple years ago. I just felt like she wasn't having her needs met, especially with having a legally binding accommodation plan. So over the past few years and then through COVID, I ended up having all my children home. And so homeschooling more by force, less by choice. And just over the last year and a half, as I've been approaching back to wanting to put my kids back in, kind of what's happening, you know, feeling like, you know, I helped remediate the reading issues that we were having. And, you know, is she ready to get back in? And so we did kind of a hybrid last year where we still did some things at home, let her go to middle school in the district. And halfway through, she actually told me she was taking a science class. She loved the teacher, but she was really dismayed about how the kids were behaving. And she just said, well, Mom, this is actually stuff you and I did last year. And so I'm kind of bored. Wow. So she opted to come back and just finish that class at home. And so but I have another child who's doing hybrid at the same middle school this year, more just to see his friends. But we do all the academic stuff at home until I feel like things kind of start to pick back up and our kids get back on track.
Yeah. And so your kids would be in the Highline School District if you hadn't decided to homeschool.
They were in the Highline School District when we moved here for a year before I pulled them out. So,
yeah. So you just detailed a few of the frustrations that you had and sort of what led you to bring your kids home. But what made you decide, especially in today's climate, as we're about to discuss, to run for school board? Because these races are now that people used to just skim past them, and now they are very high profile.
Mm-hmm. Well, so like I said, I started investigating back into the school district, and then I started getting emails about volunteering and being on different committees. So I put my name in the hat and got on the Highline Health Curriculum Committee to help pick the curriculum that would meet state standards of the new comprehensive sex ed bill. And so I didn't want to be kind of a nervous Nancy about, you know, what is being taught, because I hear what other people said, and I thought, I want to know for myself. So I got on the committee, and it turns out I was the only parent that was on the committee along with other administrators and teachers. So that to me was kind of alarming, because it wasn't representative of the community and different people's beliefs and backgrounds and what they would feel about it. But I went in just like, okay, let's just, I value what the state law says. I will uphold that and just make sure that parent rights are honored, which it is. It says, you know, it has to, you have the option to opt out. So I wanted to make sure that was honored. And as we went through that process, I just started seeing a lot of great things that I thought, oh, this is amazing. Yes, 95% of this I support, I think should be taught. The other 5%, let's give parents, you know, they should know exactly what's being taught and then the option to opt out. And this doesn't have to be a political issue. This doesn't have to be divisive. There's a way to help everyone get what they want. And so, so the more I've been going to these meetings, the more I realized there's just more to be done. And we need more representative voices. And I want to be that one that's more common sense, independent. This is a nonpartisan position. So listening to all. And yeah, so that's kind of the main reason.
Common sense independent is not how your opponent is painting you.
I know.
So I'll just read it again. I had just gone through it for folks, but conservative leaders and groups are launching bold and aggressive actions to take our schools backward. With attacks on students of color and LGBTQ youth, they seek to stifle learning about race and identity. First, have you ever attacked students of color or LGBTQ youth?
No, I've never spoken to it. When I say I will represent all students, I actually mean all students. Unlike his flyer that really does alienate and disenfranchise half the voter base who might be, and I know some who are very offended by it, to group and stereotype all people as if you're conservative, clearly you must never have had a child that's gay or trans or a family member. Or if you're conservative, you must not be a person of color. Well, I know lots of people who don't fall into that category. So it turns the whole thing very partisan.
Yeah.
And some people feel like maybe he wouldn't represent them.
Yeah, but it's also okay to just be a white mom who hasn't had a kid that's LGBTQ, who hasn't, you know, who hasn't had a student of color. I mean, that is okay. It's not wrong to be that. He goes on to say, vote Carlos to protect our students from extremist ideology. Don't fall for the squeaky clean image of my opponent. Read between the lines in a video she recorded for Political Lens. Now, we've watched this video. Can you try to help us understand what he's talking about when he's encouraging people to read between the lines?
I don't know. I actually rewatched the video yesterday because it had been a couple of months. I'm like, what did I say that was so controversial? I don't like watching myself on video. I don't know. I mean, maybe just that I allude to that there are families who don't want certain things pushed or taught. I mean, that's the place of the family to teach beliefs and, you know, to affirm identities. That's where that belongs, in my opinion. And so that's why some people send their kids to church. Some kids send their kids to sports and different camps to balance out and round out their children. And so as partners, we should be working together. And if there's a lot of parents who are saying, hey, I don't feel comfortable with this, and then that should be honored. We should be accommodating those children as well.
What kind of things do you think shouldn't be taught as part of a curriculum, but should be optional for parents?
Well, in talking about the sex ed curriculum, correct? There is that state law saying that a parent can opt out, because that does sometimes cross the line on some people's beliefs. I spoke to an Ethiopian mosque a couple weeks ago. Those people felt like that was a huge violation of their beliefs, and you know, sex and gender is so integral to what they believe. And so many of them have pulled their children out and homeschool, and had just said they felt forgotten. And we have a larger population of refugees coming here, people of different faiths and backgrounds, that a lot of these things don't quite line up with what they're thinking, and they need their voices heard. So when I was on that committee, I said, this committee should not be making a recommendation without those voices in the room, and they're not here.
Yeah. So for you, I guess, to see this flyer, that it's so vague in nature, you know, it has these kind of vague connotations that you're this extremist, racist, homophobic, transphobic person, I imagine that it has to bother you.
I laughed at it, actually. And I was like, let's have some fun with this, because if the worst thing he can come up with is that I'm squeaky clean, then I put that on my Facebook. I'm like, well, vote squeaky clean. Like, what is the alternative to that? And if he wants to elude and lead people in direction to, because he can't say it, otherwise that would be slander, to call me a white supremacist or racist or homophobic. He doesn't have the receipts to back that up. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm very fair. I'm very balanced. I'm a lover of all people. And so I hope that people who have given me that time to sit on my couch or on their doorstep or whatever have found that I am not those things, and people from all spectrums. And I'm getting those people to write, you know, hey, I sat down with her. I'm a anti-racist, you know, educator, and she is not these things. And hey, I'm a teacher and I've sat down with her. She is not these things. And so I know it's part of the game. And it's unfortunate because we're talking about our kids and we're supposed to be the best example by not bullying each other. And so I don't know what to say to that. I'm just not playing that game.
Such a good answer, Melissa. It's such a good answer. And I guess is this the first office that you've run for?
Yes.
First time you've been on a ballot. So the experience that you've been through and seeing mailers like this, how does it maybe change the way that you'll approach how you research candidates in the future personally?
Oh, I'm a political junkie by nature. So I definitely am one of those people that reads the voter pamphlet, which I still have not received mine. And I've heard a couple other people haven't. So it's kind of frustrating, but I do read them and I do look at who are they endorsed by. That kind of tells me a lot of things, because then you can go to those websites and see what they stand for. They're also trying to wrap me in with, so I have taken no endorsements. I've accepted no money from any party, political organization, union, nothing. If you go to my PDC website, you can see I'm solely funded by myself and individuals from this area. They are parents, teachers, community members, local small businesses. Unlike my opponent or the other candidates that are highly funded by their parties, their organizations, and their unions. And so that should tell you something, that I am running because I want to represent the people that care and that it really impacts. And I think that's a threat to some people, because that shows that I can't be controlled.
Yeah. Well, let's end with this, Melissa. For other parents, and I hear from so many of them who are frustrated with the state of our public education system, but they're scared to jump in for reasons like this. They don't want to be subjected to attacks like this. They don't want their neighbors getting flyers like this, painting them as an extremist, you know, in the mail. What would your message be to those parents?
They need to take a stand. I had someone who said, how come all this stuff is happening now? Why are we having to fight this now? And it said, well, because people didn't get in the game back when it was being talked about. Now these things are law. Now these things are policy. And a lot of this can't be undone, you know, and it's really unfortunate. But it's still, this is talking about our kids' education. This is a five-star alarm. We should be, I don't know why that is a political thing to say. I want strong academics for my kids. I want them to come out with that basic foundation so that they can build upon that and to be able to read. I mean, that's the most basic building block we have. And there's lots of statistics and data out there that we are not doing a good job. Once kids reach fourth and fifth grade, you know, those reading strategies of looking at a picture or looking at cues and sight words, if they don't learn how to phonetically sound it out themselves, then those bigger words in the later grades, they can't do it. And that was my experience with my daughter. She constantly kept guessing words. And I was like, what are you doing? And it took me years to get her to learn those spelling rules and why a word sounds a certain way. So I'm not sure why that's such a political thing for me to point out. And that's what I've been running on: strong academics, sound and fair policies that are good for all, and making sure that students are supported by teachers and parents working together and collaboratively, you know, doing the best we can to help our kids with their mental health. I don't know why that's such a political thing.
It shouldn't be. It's only political to people who are on the far fringes. Melissa Petrini, you're going to be on the ballot next Tuesday for Highline School Board Director position 4. Good luck to you. And thank you for caring enough to run. I know it's a difficult time to do that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So there you have it. I mean, she seems like a genuinely nice person, not some crazy extremist. And that's why, what do I always say about flyers, campaign flyers? What do I always tell you? You get them in the mail, and then you put them in the recycling. Mail, not the trash, recycling. Because honestly, I think many of them, are so incredibly disingenuous. And you look at the just vagaries, Nicole? I don't think so. I'm just making up words left and right. Good thing I don't speak for a living.
That's supposed to be negatives?
Vagueness.
Vagueness.
Vagueties? No. Okay, I'll Google that later. But you look at the vague way in which he hurls these attacks to try to make her seem like not only an extremist, but someone who's hates gay kids, you know, someone who's racist. I mean, the worst of the worst things you can label someone. But I love that Melissa Petrini, again, she's running for the Highline School Board, District 4. And I love that she's like, I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to play that game. We teach our kids not to act like that. And you have a school board candidate acting like that. So that should tell you a lot about his priorities and whether he really should be in a position where he's helping to mold the future generations. All right. Coming up next, we've been following this controversy around a biological boy competing against girls in track and field. And there was an incident over the weekend where some protesters in favor of protecting women's sports showed up and were turned away by members of law enforcement. We'll get into that, but I can't believe I'm going to read my sponsor ads like this. You think Sell with Wes is going to be okay with it? Sorry, Wes Jones. I can't take it off in between segments. It is Halloween, after all. I don't think he'll mind. We've been talking about the current state of the real estate market. Sometimes when the economy is sluggish, you're not really sure, is this the best time to sell my home? Sometimes you don't have a choice. So Wes Jones has been saying that actually, despite, you know, some of the economic factors, home prices have actually been going up. So it might not be a bad time because your home is going to be one of the only ones out there on the market.
We should be experiencing not necessarily a crash, but we should be seeing a reduction in purchase price. When you have interest rates jump up by, you know, nearly 40% in over a 12-month time span, that should be compressing pricing, but we're actually seeing the opposite. Prices have come up about 5% since the beginning of the year. And overall transaction count is down, just meaning less houses overall are selling, but they're still selling pretty quickly because there's been a lot of pent up demand, you know, over time. So, it's going pretty well, but in general, there are not enough homes on the market to meet demand.
Yeah. So it might be a good time to list your home on the market to help with some of that demand that's out there. And it could get you a bigger price than you expected given the state of the economy. But the very best thing to do would be visit sellwithwest.com. Sellwithwest.com. What he's going to do is he's going to do a free market analysis for you to let you know if your home is well positioned, if he thinks you can get what you want for it. And also you can start by using their home value calculator to see how much is your home is worth. It might be worth more than you think. Sellwithwest.com. A better way to sell your home. All right. Last week we talked about the fact that Riley Gaines, who's a former collegiate athlete who has been outspoken against biological men competing against biological women, she got involved in kind of a local controversy. There is a biological boy at Seattle Academy who is transgender, who identifies as a girl and who is competing in cross country meets. And Riley Gaines really thrust this story into the national spotlight, you know, to her roughly 1 million followers. And I had been a little critical of the way she did it. We blurred out the athlete's face, but she was showing pictures of the student athlete, which I just take issue with because it's a controversy. It's a minor. I just think you can make a point without putting the kid's face out there. But anyway, so this has become something that has been more and more of a controversy as these cross-country athletes progress to state. There are some parents who are saying that they're not allowed, and they've been told that they're not allowed to protest this. They're not allowed to show up to the meets with signs or t-shirts, and that if they do, their students could be at risk of not going to state. So they've made those claims, and I gotta say, based on this video that came out from over the weekend, I tend to believe some of those claims, that there are at least some districts who are putting their foot down on this. So I'm gonna play you a couple videos. So over the weekend, there was the cross-country semifinals held at South Whidbey High School. So there were some individuals who showed up, about six or seven of them. And they had signs. A couple of them were wearing t-shirts. The signs read, keep women's sports female, save women's sports. There was someone with a sign that said, boys are not girls. And there was, you could tell that the school was ready for this. They expected this. So they had someone from the school go out immediately when they saw these people trying to come in to the track meet, to the cross-country meet, and confront them. So what you're about to watch is the initial confrontation between a school employee, this handful of demonstrators with signs, and a police officer from the Langley Police Department.
If you are not protesting, if you are not saying anything inappropriately, if you're here to cheer on our athletes, I think that would be fine.
We're here to cheer on all
okay,
of the
so
girls
please
and to answer any
put
questions.
Your signs back.
Is
put them away.
School, are you with the school? Or are you?
Yes,
with
I'm with the school.
And
can
so
we
I
see
know,
some?
No, if you,
so may I see some identification,
no,
please?
No, you can't.
Why not? How do I know you're not just some guy?
I'm asking them to leave me now. I want them off campus.
We will put our sweaters away.
No, it's too late. Too late. You're off campus now. You're causing a disruption.
We just got here. I just paid $13 for a ferry, dude. What's up with that?
We're not disrupting anybody.
You are disrupting me right now by not following what I'm asking you to do.
I just want to know what the basis of it so I can talk with the attorney about the
You can go ahead and do whatever you want, but you need to leave.
But can you tell us the
signs away? I cannot remove them. Okay. I spoke with my chief last night, and we discussed kind of the issue at hand, and I cannot remove them.
Well, the sheriff's will.
Okay. You're welcome to call them out. Okay. I cannot do that, though.
Okay.
So it's interesting because there you have that Langley police officer. Again, it seems like the police department was anticipating that some people might show up given the high profile nature of this. And the police officer says, I spoke to my chief last night. We're not going to remove them unless there's some sort of violence going on. He goes on to say, we're not going to remove them. And the school employee says, okay, the sheriff's office will. So indeed, the school calls the Island County Sheriff's Office, which was more than happy to ask and force these individuals to leave under threat of arrest.
You can go out there and protest all you want.
The police officer told me it was public property.
You cannot be here.
The Langley officer said
this is Island County. This is Island County Sheriff's Department jurisdiction.
Okay, fair enough.
You—it's
not private.
You are not
county and private. Listen to me. Am I right?
Listen to me.
I'm listening.
No, you're talking over me. Listen to me. You are not allowed to be here. This gentleman here is responsible for this property. He has asked you nicely to leave. Either you can leave and go out to the road and protest all you want. You're more than welcome to. Okay? No questions asked. No other words said. You can leave that way, or you can be arrested for trespassing.
Or tell us exactly who's not welcome.
Point out everybody.
Everybody with the sign.
So the signs go away, then it's not a problem.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Nope. You're going away. All five of you are leaving.
We'll put our signs away.
You can leave. I'll answer your question out there.
You come back.
I will be glad to answer your question. I will be glad to answer your question.
I'm happy that you're disrupting.
Please leave and go that way.
My name's Sam.
I don't shake hands.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No.
My name's Sam Simpson.
Okay. Hi, Sam. I'll talk to you out there.
Fine.
I'm not talking to anybody right here.
But she's not even holding a sign, and she wasn't pointed out.
I'm not. Yeah. There's no more discussion.
And just to be clear, it's because I have a sign that says.
Because this gentleman asked you to leave.
And you did not.
You have about one more minute before you're arrested for trespassing. So you're your choice.
Okay. All right. I have a lot of thoughts going around in my mind about this. Very interesting to me, and we've reached out this morning to the Langley Police Department. We've also put a call in to the Island County Sheriff's Office to try to understand what happened here. Langley Police said, we're not doing anything unless they're violent. They're free to be here. And then the Sheriff's Office obviously said, you need to leave, go out to the street. You can do your thing there under threat of arrest. I am not clear on, and I'll be honest about this, and we've tried to research it, and which is part of the reason why I've reached out to the Island County Sheriff's Office. I'm not clear what the law allows for. Yes, it's a public school, but does it allow for them to trespass individuals who they don't want there? I have to imagine there's some protections for a school to do that, so that not just anyone can walk into a school, but I don't know. And so we've reached out to the Island County Sheriff's Office to understand the legal side of what happened there. So I think there's the legal side, and then there's the sort of side of, should the protesters be there? And I really struggle with that because I'm all for First Amendment and peaceful protests. I agree with what they're saying. I don't think it makes sense for biological boys or men to compete against biological women. I don't think that that is fair to women. You're biologically different. So I'm not really taking a position against them being there based on that. But I also tend to be like, gosh, these are still kids. They're still kids at a semifinal who are trying to go to state, trying to compete. There's a lot of kids there who, you know, aren't involved in this controversy at all. And I tend to think, is this distracting to them? Is this bothersome to them? Is it going to hurt their performance? And so that's where I really struggle with, you know, could you make your message and be out on the street or whatever it is? And I don't know. I go back and forth on it. You know, so there's, is it legal and is it right? And that's why I made this the subject of our daily subscriber poll today, because when I struggle with something, I'm curious to the extent to which you guys are struggling to form an opinion on it. So for our daily subscriber poll, I posed the question to you on Patreon and Locals. Over the weekend, the Island County Sheriff's Office prohibited a handful of protesters with signs from attending the high school cross-country semifinals at Whidbey Island High School. I said, should peaceful protesters be allowed on public school grounds, regardless of the content of their message? And I think that's important here to gauge it, not whether you agree with the message, but should they be allowed, if they're peaceful, on school grounds, regardless of the content of the message? And you guys are pretty torn on this, but most of you said no. Right now, as the poll stands, and we'll keep the poll open all day, 64% of you said no. A couple of the responses, Y said, no matter the side or policies, protesters should never be inside school grounds. How often have these peaceful protests turned violent? I do not want any protesters near kids' places, and most definitely not on school grounds. Kim Westerberg says, I'm voting no because most people on school district property need to be background checked. You can't even volunteer in a classroom without that, that yet you can show up and protest on the same property. I say no. Although one of the things I'll say about that is anybody can show up, I think, to a school sporting event, you know, without checking into an office. It's outdoors. I mean, I've been to a couple high school football games recently to watch friends' kids, and you know, you just walk right in and do it. Danielle said, while I agree with certain portions of this particular protest, I don't think any protest should be held on school grounds. They are disruptive, and just because a protest starts out as peaceful does not mean it ends that way. Leah said, and this is a good point, and I want to talk about it in a moment because I tend to agree with part of this. She said, when the school opens up to BLM and other leftist ideology, then yes, they encourage walkouts and protests when it suits them. You have to allow for it. Then, or the left kind of reminds me of Mickey and Fantasia when the brooms and such get out of hand. They thought it was all under control, and now the mob is taking on a mind of its own. And this is, I think, the point, which is if you allow for certain protests, then you have to allow for all protests. And how many times in the city of Seattle, it used to be kind of a running joke in our newsroom, honestly, like, what are the students in the Seattle Public Schools going to walk out of school for today? And they would have, you know, protests where they'd march up and down and walk out of school for things, and teachers would encourage it. Is that any different if it's for abortion rights or if it's for a, you know, BLM protest? The difference here being these aren't students. These are adults coming from the outside. So I will let you know what the Island County Sheriff's Office tells us about why it enforced this and why the Langley Police Department said it would not unless the protest was violent. I will also let you know when they offer us this specific RCW state code that they're enforcing this under. I'm sure there is one. You would hope there is one, but I just don't know what that is. So, yeah. Interesting stuff. I'm a little torn on it. I don't necessarily think it's best to interrupt kids who are trying to perform athletically with something like that, but I understand the point that some of these protesters are making. So it's just one of those things that I have some mixed feelings on, and I'm sure we'll hear from more of you about that coming up later in comments. All right, before we get to Unbelievable today, to talk about the not-so-fun trick-or-treating. Yeah, when I was a kid, you maybe would throw an egg, maybe some toilet paper. Kids these days are beyond that. From toilet paper straight to felonies. We'll get to that coming up in Unbelievable. But first, is your retirement portfolio well positioned for retirement, whether you're 20 years away, 10 years away, or just on the cusp of retiring? Especially in today's economy, managing your risk is critical. You do not want to work your whole life so hard and then enter a risky economic environment where you're not set up for it right before you're going to retire. That is what Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital specialize in. He also talks about it on his podcast, KnowYourRiskRadio.com, KnowYourRiskRadio.com. And he said it is absolutely critical for everyone, regardless of where you're at in the retirement saving process, to be prepared and manage their risk.
We think the world is going insane. We think that the world is propped up on all kinds of, you know, propped up printed money. And you're playing a game that has to end badly, right? Now, when it ends, when you hear all these prognosticators financially talking about when it ends, it kind of reminds me of when God's coming back. Nobody knows, right? But what it does mean is that you need a portfolio that can do two things. It can keep up with inflation and not get you buried. But also, when the inevitability of living and perpetuating an economy on printed money, when that inevitability comes to the fore, you need a portfolio that can stand up against anything, right?
Yeah, and it is inevitable. So don't wait a day longer. Make sure that your risk is being properly managed. You can reach out to our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital, knowyourriskradio.com, knowyourriskradio.com, and he and his crew give some useful tips on that show every week that should be able to help you out and figure out, am I managing my risk appropriately? All right, let's talk about some Halloween trick-or-treaters gone awry in our segment, Unbelievable. You know, usually you keep the trick-or-treats to Halloween. And the point is, you go up, trick-or-treat. And if they don't give you a treat, then yeah, you can, you know, I don't know, put a bag of flaming dog poop on their doorstep or something wholesome such as that.
Smash their pumpkins.
Smash that. I don't know about smashing. Yes. I don't want to ruin anyone's property. Just a tiny little bag of flaming dog poo. Toilet paper.
I guess.
Wholesome stuff.
I guess. But kids the pumpkin, these days, I mean, it's on Halloween. You're going to throw away the pumpkin the next that's day true. Anyway.
Kids these days are taking things too far. And I guess it doesn't surprise me, given the juvenile crime wave that they're on. Nicole was saying that her ring alerts have been absolutely lighting up with people getting, because Ring has a little community setting, is that
right.
what it is?
So yeah. As soon as somebody posts a video of, you know, something on their Ring, which has been for the last week, it's been kids smashing pumpkins or taking knives to Halloween blow-up decorations.
Because they just have to ruin something.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. They just have to ruin something. Again, smash the pumpkins, but wait till Halloween is
exactly.
over.
I mean, right? Exactly. You got to light it up on Halloween.
This was the headline from Cairo 7. Quote, you're ruining everybody else's time. Bothell neighborhood Halloween decorations vandalized. It says several Bothell homes had their Halloween decorations destroyed and the vandals were caught on camera. A group who are believed to be teenagers, shock, dart out of two cars. Were they Kias? And start tearing and breaking nearly every Halloween decoration in sight on Sunday night. Homeowner Steve Trepp says, we had a nice looking display for Halloween for the kids to come and get candy. Now it's not much of a display anymore. But look, again, I don't mean to be dramatic about this or hyperbolic. Is it any surprise? We've got kids out there committing violent felonies at record rates, and they don't even have consequences. So it doesn't surprise me that kids are going to go tear apart people's decorations at will, even though they know they're being recorded because everybody has a Ring camera these days, and they don't care about the consequences. If people are committing drive-by shootings aren't getting punished for it, then why would somebody who goes and stomps on a pumpkin or takes a knife to your Halloween display get in trouble for it? And there was related. I'm going to say that they're related. I'm going to say that there is a tie between these evil little kids who would ruin people's Halloween decorations 2 days before Halloween and the type of mentality that allows kids to commit armed robberies, which we're seeing with more and more frequency. 10 teens, police say, are responsible for robbing 4 Ballard gas stations at gunpoint. A group of 10 masked teenagers hold up several Ballard gas stations. In one instance, and Cairo 7 had a clip with the clerk, he says that the kid pointed a gun at him and pulled the trigger, and it misfired. So I don't know if it just wasn't.
Holding the gun in this picture.
Yeah, if you're watching on the thing. And that it just didn't. So I don't know if it was a real gun, if it was a fake gun, if it was loaded or not loaded, or if it was a real loaded gun that just absolutely misfired. But can you imagine how horrifying that is? So I'm sorry. We have to, unless we want to continue to have a generation of kids who believes they can commit violent crimes without consequence, then we also have to make sure that kids have consequences for things like ruining Halloween decorations, things like going out and terrorizing their neighborhood. And you might look at that and say, well, that is really petty compared to someone pointing a gun in the face of a gas station attendant and pulling the trigger. And it is. But I would argue that part of the reason that kids get to that point is they've gone through life believing there are no consequences for them. And so I think that
Where's
we need
that
to...
Empathy. Where's that?
There's no empathy.
It's just crazy. It's so scary.
There's no empathy. There's no sense of responsibility. I think that if the police can catch these little, was it Bothell? Yeah. Bothell police. Let's get out there.
I mean, it's everywhere.
Throw the book at them. Throw the book at them.
All of them.
It's happening at your house. Well, we should call up our friend, Sheriff Adam Fortney.
I know.
Get a specialized patrol for Halloween trick-or-treaters gone awry. Absolutely unbelievable. All right, I'm going to talk about First Mark Insurance because I love it. Mike and I have First Mark Insurance. We took the First Mark Challenge in the spring. We just scheduled a little time, did a Zoom with them, talked about our current insurance, talked about our insurance needs. They went out, shopped the market. They came back and they're like, hey, good news. We can get you much better insurance than you have right now for the same price that you're paying. We're like, why would we not? Sign us up. And now we're members of the First Mark family. Dave Taylor, the CEO of First Mark, talked about who their ideal client is.
Our client is anybody that values advice and wants to have a partner in their insurance buying decision and in helping them manage those accounts moving forward. So it can be as simple as someone that owns a car and rents an apartment to the uber wealthy that have assets all across the world that we need to insure. So we really, what's most important for us is somebody that values this partnership and wants to have us guide them through it.
Yeah, and I think especially right now, you know, I've been hearing stories from business owners who are like, I'm having a hard time finding insurance. My insurance dropped me. I got broken into so many times. I mean, if you're navigating a difficult situation with insurance, for sure, having someone like those at First Mark try to navigate the market for you is a really good idea. And you might save a little money in the process. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The best part is they work for you. I couldn't wait to read this comment, Nicole. Nick Greer says, ew, kids these days are so bad.
Very clever.
You have a good, that's a good Halloween costume. I was like, did you have that thing laying around?
No,
she bought it for the occasion because she knows there's so many sheeple out there.
That's right.
None who watch this show, of course.
Of course not.
Of course not. It's the ears.
I know, they're so ridiculous.
It's the ears that do it for me. All right, shall we dip outside Washington State for a moment? We've just been talking about the state of education. We discuss that all the time on the show and how I think, thankfully, it has gotten, a few things have happened. You have more parents who are getting involved. They're showing up to school board meetings. They are, although doesn't the FBI consider them terrorists? I think something like that is true. They're showing up to school board meetings. They're running for school board. We just heard from one of those candidates earlier on the show today. And you have parents who are deciding to pull their kids out of public schools until if things get better. I mean, sending them to private schools, which is very expensive, or homeschooling them, which can be really hard for a family to do. I talked to a mom who came to the Adam Fortney event with us yesterday, and she's homeschooled, I think she said four kids. I'm like, oh my gosh, God bless you. I don't know how you did that. But anyway, not a surprise to see not only in Washington State, but nationally, homeschooling rates skyrocketing. And certainly they skyrocketed during the pandemic. That's not a surprise. The Washington Post says homeschooling's rise from fringe to fastest growing form of education. So if you're watching on the podcast, there's a little graph there, but it basically showed that it went from in 2019, 2020, it was pretty low, and then it went up by 60%, up to 60%, which was crazy growth in people who are being homeschooled. That chart is sort of confusing, but I think that's what it means. And then it's sort of evened out to 50% growth of where it was pre-pandemic levels, but it's still really high. The Washington Post says concerns about school shootings, bullying, and the general quality of... Are people really pulling their kids out for school shootings?
Continue, but yeah. Well, okay. That's I'll what continue. People are telling them.
All right. Concerns about school shootings, bullying, and general quality of the school environment, intractable problems, some of which school officials have limited power to solve, were among the top reasons for homeschooling cited by parents in a Washington Post SCAR school poll earlier this year. Many also said they feared the intrusion of politics into public education, a worry unlikely to recede amid arguments over how sexual identity, Black history, and other subjects are handled in the classroom. Yeah, and I'm sure there's a little bit of all of that going on, but we also have to remember, it's not an easy task to homeschool your kids. It's not an easy task to homeschool your kids. And so for that reason, the fact that we've seen the rates skyrocket so much and stay really high, I think is very telling about how deep the concerns about our public education system are. I would be surprised if a large percentage of that had to do with parents who were concerned about school shootings, given the rarity of them. I'm not saying they're not an issue. I'm not saying they don't happen.
If they lump it with bullying, though, like, I will defend it a little bit, because that bullying is a problem. Yeah. Because schools don't do anything. There's no discipline at school, so kids are terrible to each other. Yeah. And there's no consequence for that.
Yeah, well, an overall like safety. If it's an right. overall like safety of my kid at school and right. I can protect them more at home, then yeah, I think that is a different thing if they asked it in a very specified way. But, I mean, this makes sense. This does not surprise me. I mean, the kind of things that we talk about on the show, these aren't fringe one-off things. I mean, when you think about how many stories, for instance, we've done on the Olympia School District alone, you know, from having these groups that segregate Black kids so they can have a safe space away from white kids, from these Planned Parenthood sex ed lessons where they're teaching kids that they can identify as a tree if they want to these private teacher-student relationships where teachers are keeping secrets from parents that their kids come to school and identify as a different name and a different gender. I mean, if we're being tipped off to as many as we are, imagine how many we're not being tipped off to. Imagine how prevalent this actually is. And we had a school story last week on that went crazy in the Blaine School District of some teacher who's taken it upon themselves to hand out this worksheet to make students rate their power privilege score against one another. And so parents hear about that with increased frequency. I do still think there are a lot of good teachers and a lot of good schools out there, but they're like, okay, if we can make homeschooling work, then let's just do it. And I think it's going to take some drastic changes and much more oversight of what's happening in classrooms for parents to be willing to bring their kids back to school. I mean, we just had a mom on earlier, Melissa Petrini, who's running for school board, and she took a couple of her kids out of the Highline School District because she just didn't think that they were getting the education that they needed. So not a surprise to see what's happening in Washington State also mimicked at the national level in terms of an increase in homeschooling. Bellevue, Nicole threw this in because it just ties to everything. Como News, Bellevue parents protest potential school closure amid districts' enrollment concerns. So you have enrollment declining where you have school districts who are like, okay, well, we might have to close some schools down. It says parents protested the closing of schools within the Bellevue School District outside Odell Middle School on Monday with signs reading no school closure. Odell. Keep Odell open, and Odell serves our community. Several parents told Como News they're shocked the district is not only looking at closing a middle school, but also rushing the process. But there has been, okay, declining birth rates. I do think that's a thing. But that's not something that happens so fast. I mean, that is happening slowly over time. I mean, Nicole and I are two women of childbearing age without kids. So we absolutely think that that's a thing. Elon Musk talks about it all the time, about how he thinks that we're in a global population crisis. And maybe that's why he has so many kids. He's just popping them out. He's like, I can afford it.
Keep having them.
I like the process of making them, so why don't I just keep doing it? But yeah, so that's a thing, but that's not something that happens instantly where all of a sudden a school district wakes up and it's like, oh my God, I have to close two schools because of population decline. No, that's ridiculous. But you do have a lot of parents who have opted, and maybe it started during the pandemic, to have their kids schooled at home or maybe gone to a private school where the school wasn't going to be closed. And then they're like, actually, we can do this. We can manage this. Let's keep it this way. So definitely the pandemic was an opportunity for a lot of students to change their way of thinking about education. All right, before we get to questions and comments, I have been preaching my success on the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic plan. In fact, I'm just starting another round of the program. So I can get to my pre-pandemic weight before the new year. I'm not waiting until January 1st. I'm not going to do that. I've tried that a million times. I'm doing it now. And I'm already down 37 pounds in the program. Just looking great, feeling my best. And I've heard from so many of you who have decided to give it a shot. No prepackaged meals, no counting calories, no strenuous workout routines. Dr. Ryan Coogan and his team teaching you what to eat in the right portions and how to maintain it for life without feeling like you're on a lifelong diet. I mean, it's really great stuff. EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. Start by simply scheduling a free 15-minute consultation. You can get all your questions answered before you commit. All right, let's get to questions and comments from the live stream today. Miranda jumped into our comments. Mm-hmm. She said, haha, I love this. It's both upsetting and impressive how good you look with pink hair and a nose ring, Brandy. Don't say that. Somebody said they thought I was Cindy Lauper.
The nose ring. Really Cindy Lauper or Lisa Herbold with the nose ring.
Oh, that's what Mugshot Espresso said. Lisa Herbold with pink hair. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Kim Taylor says, where's your green coat, Brandy? That's so funny because I thought about dressing as the woman from the viral Fox News clip who's like, crime? What crime? But I just like, oh, where am I going to find a green coat on short notice?
You didn't ask me. I actually have like a green rain jacket thing.
Next year. All right, E says, you both look awesome. Love the ears, Nicole. Helios says, love the costume and set. Yeah, it's that you got to take into consideration. The signs go with the whole vibe. Let's see. Matthew Cook says, Costa, who's running for City Council District 1, has a flyer saying Rob Saka is supported by MAGA Republicans. Mind you, he's a Dem that has approval from Dow Constantine and supports the police. Matthew, will you email us that? Because we're happy to highlight those until the cows come home. And I also think by giving a little extra love and support to candidates who have been attacked like that, maybe we will discourage those sorts of attacks. Like, you want to attack someone with baseless accusations, unless they truly are an extremist, but baseless accusations in a lot of these instances for people who are just moderate, reasonable human beings, then yeah, then we're going to give them airtime. Then we're going to bring 70 people out at 3:30 p.m. on a Monday to sign wave for them in the busiest intersection in Snohomish County. So by all means, you can use those tactics, but we'll use our platform and our tactics to try to offset it. All right. Heidi Ryan said of Melissa Petrini in the Highline School District race, so glad she's running. May more moms and dads start running for school boards. I agree. God bless them, because that's a difficult climate to run in. Gil Corazon says, about school education priorities. Teaching any kind of moral values is not the job of the government. Build our roads, defend our borders, teach marketable skills, leave the rest to citizens. I agree. I think it's up, and I said this with the Blaine handout, where it's like, rate your privilege score. I don't think it's a bad thing for parents to teach their kids about, oh, hey, you have privilege. You grew up in a wealthy home. Use that, you know, and be kind to others or whatever it is. But I think that's the parents' job.
Yes.
It's not a bad lesson, but it's the parents' job to teach that lesson and to teach it in a way that doesn't tie it to immutable characteristics like, oh, you're white, so you should feel guilty. Just stupid. Yes. All right. On Langley, on the attempted protest, is that fair? I don't know if they really got to protesting.
And then kicked off.
Right? Yeah, kicked off. Not Langley. I guess it was in Langley, but at a cross-country meet.
With this whole concept, because I do think that, you know, regardless, the kids have no control. So right. Just let them do their sport. And, I mean, maybe not cause a scene outside of the area.
I tend to agree. And there was actually someone in the comments. Maybe you can go find it, Nicole, while I continue talking. Somebody posted, they thought, oh, here it is. That maybe it's the relevant RCW. This person posted an RCW 288.635. Disturbing school activities or meetings, penalty. Any person who shall willfully create a disturbance on school premises during school hours or at school activities. So maybe that's what they use, but is it a disturbance and how do you gauge what a disturbance is, etc. But thanks for sending that. But yeah, I tend to agree. It's like, and that's my opinion on this whole, you know, male athlete school sports thing, is it's the WIAA that allows for it. Mm-hmm. It's the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association, is that what it is? And so these kids are playing by the rules. And so this biological boy is playing by the rules.
And the adults surrounding them. Now, right. They might support it, but they are playing by the rules. It's, yes, deal with the people in charge.
Right. And so I guess, I really struggle with it because I understand the frustration. I understand the frustration for parents of girls who are seeing their daughter get beat by a biological male. And they're like, she's worked so hard for this. Right. How can you allow this? That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know if I agree with showing up and protesting it. But then it's like, well, how do you make your voice heard? I guess at meetings and to people who actually make these sorts of decisions and on social media. So I'm torn. All right. Penny said kids should not walk out of school to protest anything. That's not why they're there. I did a commentary back when I was at Fox 13 about the students who were walking out for protests. And some parents were like, well, they shouldn't get penalized for it. And it's like, okay, that actually doesn't... If your kid believes in this issue so much that they're going to walk out of school to protest it, even facing expulsion or detention or whatever it is, then that's a good lesson for them. Like, if you want to stand up for something you believe in, then yeah, there might be some consequences for it. What does it teach them if they're like, oh, I can break the rules and do this and stand up for what you believe in and there won't be any consequences? No, usually in life, standing up for what you believe in is hard. Teach them that lesson, that yes. It's hard, and sometimes there are consequences for it. All right, on the Halloween teens. Oh, you already read this. Ew, kids these days are so bad. On homeschool age, there are a ton of fights at the high school near my home. I actually moved two of my kids to a safer school. I paid my mortgage and paid for an apartment so my kids would be safer. Yeah, that's crazy. And we, I guess, just talked about if the reason for homeschooling, because it said school shootings, but if it was more broad about safety concerns.
Right, I think it was, I think they grouped it all together.
So. Yeah, because we just talked about the students in Ballard who are getting mugged at gunpoint, walking to and from school, which is absolutely freaking ridiculous. All right, good questions and comments today. And we always keep the daily subscriber polls open. So if you don't get a chance to take them before the show, please go and weigh in on Patreon or Locals, because you might have noticed last week at the end of the week, because that's the first week we did subscriber polls, daily subscriber show polls. At the end of the week last week, we post the results for all the polls throughout the week. So make sure you still weigh in, even if you haven't done it, by showtime. All right, let us get to our closing sanity check, shall we? I wanted to make this one a little simple today, but, you know, we talk about bringing common sense back, giving common sense a comeback, trying to restore sanity. And I think this week was a really good example of the types of stuff that you need to do to make it happen. You know, complaining about it as we do, you know, talking about these stories, bringing these issues to light, you know, commiserating with people online who are also frustrated with the state of things, that's all good. I think it's all helpful to bring these things to light. But showing up in the middle of the day for someone like Sheriff Adam Fortney and standing there for an hour and a half and waving a sign for him to stand up and say, hey, we're not going to let a good guy be vilified. We're not going to allow those sorts of tactics to become the norm, and we're going to push back against them when they do happen. I think that's so important. And so, you know, I'm sure wherever you live in the state of Washington or even outside of Washington, you're getting mailers to your house, you're seeing ads or whatever it is. If you see something that you feel like is not right, even if it comes from a candidate who you support, reach out to them. Tell them that that is not the kind of campaign you want them to run. Tell them if you feel that way that they've lost your vote over it. And let's make that style of campaigning less and less popular and less effective. And if we do, then you have these candidates at all levels who are going to have to campaign on the issues. And that's what we all want at the end of the day. And that's how we can make sure sanity prevails. All right, that has been it for today's Halloween edition of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving, get this nose ring out of my nose, giving common sense a comeback. We'll see you back on the live show tomorrow at noon. Don't forget, this is a people-powered podcast. We cannot do it without your support. So support us for $5 a month at undividedpod.com. Undividedpod.com. Nicole, I can't believe you didn't give us one more wiggle of the sheep ears.
I'm dying over here. I'm
overheating. She's done. She's overheating. Okay, we'll see you guys tomorrow.